Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Senior Talks by the AMAC Foundation, a public service of the AMAC Foundation. My name is Russ Galore, and I'm here today with Sharon Kletzka and Eileen Cook of our Social Security Advisory Staff. So today we're going to talk about something called the restricted application, and also something that came about as a result of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015, known as the Deemed Filing Rule. So to start it off, I think what we'd like to do, as we often do, is start with a question that we've received and the answer and how we answered that.
The question is, I am getting Social Security benefits based on my income. I should have applied for benefits based on my husband's income. Is there any way to reapply using his benefits?
Okay, so the answer to the question really kind of depends on a few things. Was she 66 years old when she applied? And was her husband taking his benefits, his retirement benefits, or was he on Social Security disability when she applied? So if the answer to both of those questions are yes, that would mean that she was born before January 2nd, 1954, and she had the option to file a restricted application for spousal benefits only. And if it's been less than 12 months since she started receiving her own benefit, she's going to have an option known as the do-over rule. I believe we actually mentioned this in yesterday's broadcast. So this do-over rule allows you to contact Social Security and say, hey, I made a mistake and I want to cancel my Social Security retirement benefits. Now, the consequences of that is that she's going to have to repay all of the payments that she's received to date. That's going to include, any other deductions that were made from her benefits, which would include, tax withholding or Medicare premiums or anything like that. You're going to have to repay all of that. But she'd get a letter from Social Security telling her how much money she'd have to repay to cancel the application. The amount has to be paid in full before the end of the 12-month period. So once she's done this, it would be as if she never filed for benefits at all. And at that time, she could file this restricted application for spousal benefits only. And if she's already 6 months beyond her full retirement age of 66, she could backdate that application by 6 months and get 6 months of retroactive spousal benefits. But 6 months is the farthest back that Social Security will allow you to go. So there's kind of a bunch of things wrapped up in that one relatively simple question. So why don't we just kind of kick it off by talking about that those things.
I have to say, and I hear this a lot about terminology in restricted application versus the file and suspend. And it's important to, when you go to Social Security, to specifically tell them restricted application and not tell them file and suspend, because that file and suspend is no longer available, correct? Was that part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015?
Well, file and suspend is no longer available in the way that it was used prior to the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015. If you reach your full retirement age, you can actually still suspend your benefits. There'd be no reason to file and suspend because you just don't claim your benefits and you're still earning delayed retirement credits. A file and suspend in the sense that it was used to file one's benefits, then suspend those benefits and allow spousal benefits to be collected based upon that filing. That is what went away as a result of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015.
So it is important when someone goes in there and they want to refile for restricted application for spousal benefits only that they don't use the term, I want to file mine and suspend them so my wife can get them, correct?
Correct. Because now if they file and suspend, their spouse can't get benefits.
Okay. So if that's the most, I think what the confusing thing is, and I have a thing that goes way back when I first started in the medical field in a hospital group, a large hospital group, and I was given a project, and this is how important terminology is, and you have to use it correctly. I was doing a project where Medicare had, didn't pay, and because they had the date of death was wrong. So they said, oh, go down to medical records, And I said, okay, and explain the situation. I need the copy of the death certificate. And the woman said, we don't have death certificates. I said, what do you mean? We don't have death certificates. And hung up the phone on me. And I went, what do you mean no death certificates? So I went to my manager. I said, I don't understand. She goes, oh, no, that's called receipt of the body. So I called up the department again. I said, I need the receipt of the body for these people. Oh, yeah, here we go. I'll send them right to you. What department are you in? So it's that important to use the terminology correctly?
Terminology is extremely important. You know, one of the ones on the terminology side that we frequently see misused, I guess you'd say, or misinterpreted, is people will say they're looking for a spousal benefit instead of saying what they really mean, and that is a survivor benefit. Because a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm the spouse, my spouse died, so therefore I think I'm entitled to a spousal benefit. But it's not a spousal benefit, it's a survivor benefit. And if you talk to the wrong person at Social Security, they're going to say, you know what, you know, you're not entitled to a spousal benefit.
But why we're dealing with the file and suspend and the fact that it ended for anyone that was born May 1st, 2016 or later, is that there are still people out there under the file, timely file and suspend status, which means they filed and suspended no later than April 29th, 2016. Any spouse that has reached their full retirement age and is married to someone that's under a timely filed, file and suspend, still has the option to go in and file a restricted application or simply just for their spousal benefit underneath their record and are entitled to receive it. I've had instances where Social Security sent them away. If you're in the situation, don't let them send you away. As long as that file and suspend was filed no later than April 29th, 2016.
But if you didn't do it before April 29th, 2016, it's no longer available to you.
Correct.
Okay. So if you're still under that, you can still file a restricted application.
Right. The last person turning 70 on April 20th, 2020 is the end of the timely filed file and suspend.
So next year is the end of it.
Correct.
Okay. But it, like we were saying, it's important to use the right terminology. Like, you get turned away if you're not using the right terminology. So in this instance, you know, restricted application for spousal benefits only. So if that person wanted to do that, to do the do-over and apply for the restricted application, that they should say restricted application for spousal benefits only.
Correct.
So who can use this? Who benefits from this? Anyone born, I know the old rules, as Sharon loves to say, anyone born before January 2nd, 1954 is eligible to use that.
Correct.
And they don't have to use it when they first retire.
No, I mean, you become eligible when you reach your full retirement age to file a restricted application.
Okay.
But say, for example, you have a spouse that's only 64. They don't want to take their benefits until they reach their full retirement age.
Okay.
So you were born before January 2nd, 1954. So by the time you can file your restricted application, you're already going to be 68 years old.
Okay.
You can still at that time file a restricted application for spousal benefits only as soon as your spouse files for theirs.
You cannot file a restricted application if you've previously filed for Social Security and have not done the do-over option. In other words, you can't say start collecting at age 64 and then reach age 66, your full retirement age, and say, you know what, I think I want to file a restricted application. It's too late. The horse has left the barn. You know, if you haven't, if you're already collecting Social Security benefits for more than a year, you really don't have the option of doing the restricted application.
Past 12 months, that option's gone.
Oh, so after the 12 months, that first year, and let's say you become aware of it, you can't use that excuse. Oh, I didn't know. You know, 2 years down the road, I could have used it.
So a couple of basic rules for the restricted application are, one, you have to have reached your full retirement age. Two, you cannot be previously receiving benefits for more than a year. And three, your spouse must be collecting benefits in order for you to file a restricted application and get 50% of the spouse's benefit amount. When you do that successfully, when you file a restricted application for spousal benefits only, essentially what you're doing, as the name suggests, is you're restricting your application to only spousal benefits, and you are allowing your own Social Security retirement benefit to continue growing by earning delayed retirement credits which it will, they will do up until age 70. They will earn 2/3 of 1% per month of delay, or 8% per year of delay. So if at the full retirement age of 66, if you were to file a restricted application at age 66, you'd get 32% more when you are 70 years old. And in the intervening years between, you know, 66 and 70, let's say, you would be collecting 50% of the spouse's full retirement age benefit amount. Important thing to realize, too, is that spousal benefits are always based upon full retirement age benefit amount, something we call the primary insurance amount. So that even if your spouse started collecting their own benefit at age 62, then, and you filed a restricted application at age 66, you would be collecting 50% of the spouse's benefit that they were entitled to at their full retirement age, not the amount that they're collecting at age 62.
Now, there's a little bit what I think find highly interesting that some people may not like, is only one spouse can file a restricted application on the spouse that is, on their spouse that is already receiving their benefits. But then we have divorced spouses.
Okay.
If both divorced spouses have reached their full retirement age of 66, and they have been divorced more than 2 years, which makes them an independent divorced spouse, they can each file a restricted application on each other. And neither one, and they can both delay their retirement benefits until age 70.
But I don't understand. If your spouse has to be collecting, doesn't they, you know, something's wrong there.
when you've been divorced for 2 years or more, you become an independent divorced spouse and you're entitled to spousal benefits, whether or not your ex-spouse is collecting their benefits. They only have to be eligible to receive their benefits. That means they have to be at least 62 years old, or if younger than 62, they have to be on SSDI. Since they've been divorced more than 2 years, they meet the ruling for independent divorced spouse. Okay. They're both 66. That means they're eligible to file for a spousal benefit, even though the other spouse isn't taking their benefits. So they're each able to file a restricted application on each other. A married couple does not have this option. A divorced couple does.
Are you encouraging people to get divorced, Sharon?
2 years prior to their full retirement.
Absolutely not. But when they first made the rule, I did see it in some humorous social security advice telling you to get divorced 2 years before you turn 66.
Yeah, exactly. It is a really interesting nuance to that whole restricted application.
If you're on a restricted application and you reach your full retirement age, you can still work. There's no earnings limit
once you reach your full retirement age. So you're able to work, make all the money you want, let your benefit grow to 70. You're still bringing in Social Security income. The only thing that's going to happen to Social Security income, it is going to be subject to tax.
Now, I have a question. Yeah, income tax. I have a question. Now, let's say your spouse is younger and they continue to work, but you file a restricted application. Let's say they go over their earnings limit and they lose their monthly and they lose a month. Do you lose?
You'll lose your benefit also, because your benefit is based on their record. So when what they call the number holder goes over the earnings limit, they will withhold both the number holder's payment and the spousal benefit until they're paid back in full.
Oh, okay.
But if the person receiving the spousal benefit goes over the limit, they will only withhold that the spousal benefit amount. They will not withhold anything from the number holder.
Oh, okay. That's a little different. All right. So we know we went over who could use it, who cannot use it. Anyone born after January 2nd, 19, or yeah, anyone born January 2nd, after January 2nd, 1954 and over, correct? They cannot.
January 2nd, 1954 or later.
it's easy to say, well, anyone born 1953 or earlier can use it. I mean, that's kind of an easy way to remember it. But the oddity comes in is because Social Security says that if you were born on the first day of the month, you are considered to be eligible the previous month. So that's where the January 1st, January 2nd rule comes into effect.
Yeah, January 1st, they consider you born on December 31st. Mm-hmm. January 2nd, they consider you born on January 1st. So if you're born on January 1st, they consider you born in 53 in this instance. If you're born on January 2nd, they consider you born in 54,
okay.
Which means you don't qualify for a restricted application.
It's amazing to me how many people still come to us with questions about the restricted application. They were born in like 56 and 57 and 58. And they heard about the restricted application, but they don't really catch that it's a very limited population of people who are actually eligible for it. They think because maybe one of their friends is doing it that they are also eligible. So we sometimes have to break the news to them that, you know what, I'm sorry, but you were born after 1953 or after January 1st, 1954, so therefore you're not eligible.
Yeah, that happens if you got older brothers and sisters that qualified for it. And then you talk at the family reunion and they're, oh, you could do this, you could do this.
And believe it or not, financial advisors sometimes aren't aware of the rule change.
Oh, really? Okay. So those people that are born after that date cannot use it. Anyone else that cannot use it you know of? No, that's about it. Okay.
No, only if you took another benefit.
Okay. So let's talk about the other thing that catches a lot of people off guard, the DEAM filing rule. The DEAM filing was part of the bipartisan.
Well, there was DEAM filing before the Bipartisan Budget Act, and I can kind of explain to you how it worked.
Okay.
Under the old rules, if the higher earning spouse took their benefit first, and then the lower earning spouse applied when the higher earning spouse was already taking their benefit and they were eligible for a spousal benefit, they were then at that time automatically deemed as filing for their spousal benefit also. And Social Security would give them the highest of the two benefits available to them.
Okay.
But that lower earning spouse had an option to get around the deemed filing rule.
Okay.
They could file for their own reduced retirement benefit first. Then the higher earning spouse could file for their benefit. Now, that spouse born January 1st, 1954 or before, she could actually delay taking her spousal benefit until she reached her full retirement age and get the full spousal boost.
Okay.
Even though her benefit would still be less than the full 50% because the reduction to her own retirement would carry over. But now, under the new rules, if you're born January 2nd, 1954 or later, say you file for your own benefit at 62.
Okay.
Your spouse is not yet taking their benefits, so you're only going to get your own reduced retirement benefit.
Okay.
Well, your spouse decides to file at 66. Well, you're only going to be, in this example, he's 64, you're 62. You're only going to be 64 years old.
Okay.
The second he files for his benefits, you're going to be deemed as having filed for your spousal benefit, and they're going to automatically apply it, and your spousal benefit's going to be reduced also. Where on the other rule, they had the option to wait to 66, and they have to actually go into Social Security and apply for their spousal benefit.
So this is an automatic now.
Automatic. You have no say in the matter. If your husband's retirement plan change and you're not yet your full retirement age, your spousal benefit's going to get reduced the second he applies because you're going to get it automatically.
And that's the new rules for deemed filing.
The new rules for deemed filing. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple benefits that aren't subject to deemed filing. Say you have a child under 16, mm-hmm. and your husband's or your spouse starts receiving benefits.
Okay.
You're eligible for what they call a child in care credit when you have a child under 16. Mm-hmm. Those benefits are not subject to deemed filing.
Okay.
So even if you turn 62 while you're receiving them, they're not subject to deemed filing. Should the child turn 16, if you were eligible for regular spousal benefit and you wanted to continue receiving it, you would have to actually apply for a reduced spousal benefit. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when you turned your full retirement age, if you were eligible for regular spousal benefit, they would automatically start it.
Oh, okay.
And then you also have the widow benefit is not subject to deemed filing. That gives you the option, depending on your age, because widow benefits, you can start at 60. Your own, you can start at 62. Mm-hmm. You have the choice when you apply to either take your widow benefit or your own benefit, which whichever one would result in the highest benefit to you. Mm-hmm. For example, you're 62, you go in to determine whether you want to apply for a reduced survivor benefit or a reduced retirement benefit. Now, if your survivor benefit is going to be the highest benefit ever available to you when you reach your full retirement age, you might want to consider taking your own reduced benefit first. You simply restrict the application to taking your own benefit and delaying your widow benefit till you reach your full widow age. Or if your own benefit will be higher at age 70, you would then restrict your application to your widow benefit only while allowing your own benefit to continue growing up to the age of 70 or whenever it would be higher and you would decide to take it.
Yeah, the whole key here is to kind of plan it out. Because what you really want is to get the highest benefit possible for the rest of your life. That's why you need to look at whether your own benefit at age 70 is going to be higher than your survivor benefit, at your full retirement age. So it's an interesting point. Another interesting thing, too, is this whole thing about what is a spousal benefit? Because we get a lot of confusion from people who say, well, I want to take my spousal benefit first and I'll take my own later. I want to take my own now. Well, the spousal benefit, when you take it, is actually comprised of your own benefit plus something Sharon mentioned before, a spousal boost to bring you up to what you're entitled to as a spouse. So people often get confused. They think that they're totally separate. And they're not. The only time that a spousal benefit is purely a spousal benefit is if the lower earning person that's entitled to the spousal benefit does not have their own work record and is not independently eligible for Social Security on their own. If they are eligible for Social Security on their own, then a spousal benefit actually becomes two parts. One is what they're entitled to on their own, and then the other part is a boost to get them to what they're entitled to as a spouse.
Is it important to realize when you take that benefit early, you have a reduction?
Anytime any Social Security benefit is taken before full retirement age, the benefit is going to be reduced. And that applies to spousal benefit. It applies to your own Social Security retirement benefit. It applies to survivor's benefits. Anytime any benefit is taken before your full retirement age, it's going to be reduced. The only exception to that is Social Security disability insurance benefits, which can be taken before your full retirement age, and it'll be based upon your full retirement age.
Since divorced spouses had a little break with the restricted application, do they get a break when it comes to deemed filing? Means if they find out, can they get us go for theirs? And let's say they didn't realize that they could get a spousal boost.
Okay, the bad news for divorced spouses, they have the same option under the old rules as the current spouse. If they file and they're an independent divorced spouse and their ex-spouse isn't taking their benefit yet, they're not automatically deemed as applying for their spousal benefit.
Okay.
They will once again have to apply for it whenever they decide full retirement age. They can apply for it, but they don't have to.
Okay.
Under the new rules, when a divorced spouse applies, she's going to be deemed as filing for both.
Even though...
Remember that ex-spouse does not have to be taking their benefits, just be eligible.
All right. So you have to...
For them to get a spousal benefit.
So even if I've been divorced 2 years, 10 years, whatever, as long as I made the marriage, the 10-year marriage rule, and I get a divorce, and I file for my own benefits, and he is eligible for his benefits, I'm going to be deemed as filing for both?
They're supposed to apply for both when they apply for their own retirement benefit and spousal benefit.
Oh, okay.
All right. So that's about all we have time for today's program. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion. And this is the AMAC Foundation, Russ Glore, Sharon Kletzka, and Eileen Cook signing off for the day. And we hope to see you all back here tomorrow.